Hi, I'm Ed Young. This is my wife, Lisa. This is Caitlin and Eric Swanson. We're going to be talking today about a subject on the Creative Marriage podcast that is really prevalent. That's the word. It is silent. It is very, very challenging. It'll test your faith and your marriage and your patience. We're talking about infertility.
And Caitlin and Eric have a journey that they've gone through. We covered it on the previous podcast, and that was that they had tried to have a baby and, with no success. So they went through an IUI. Is that right? IUI. And it was successful. But how did it end?
It ended in an ectopic pregnancy. Yes.
So, and with that, you had a lot of complications. So you actually lost a fallopian tube.
I did. And so our chances.
Did they remove that during the surgery?
The surgery. And so our chances at that point from losing that fallopian tube decreased our chances of becoming pregnant even more.
Okay. Did you know going in they were going to remove the fallopian tube or not?
We knew there was a pretty high chance of that.
Yeah, so actually, since in the procedures before, they were looking for where the pregnancy was implanted, and they could not find it on through any x-rays or anything like that. So they actually told us there was a good chance they would take both fallopian tubes.
Oh, wow.
Because it's just safer.
They just didn't know what they would find when they got in there.
But they were going to try and do essentially exploratory surgery to find it. And they ended up finding it.
Okay. So this is something that it's enlightening for me because there's so many people you look at a pregnant person, a pregnant woman, and you go, wow, you're having a baby. And we don't realize the intricacies involved, or maybe we do, but we don't acknowledge it before God, that God is that. I mean, it truly is a miracle to get pregnant, to carry the baby through full term. All of those things. So I think for us to recognize that and be sensitive to those who are going through the infertility journey is very important. So you're now facing a difficult scenario. You've already invested in one method of trying to get pregnant. It worked, but it didn't end well. So what did you decide to do after that?
Take a break.
Which is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
For y'all, you just knew that was the thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was just such a traumatizing situation with the surgery. Yes. And it was kind of like a drawn out, like I said, it was a couple months of her going in, blood work, this, that, and all that kind of stuff. So we just decided, hey, let's take a break for a while and then we'll revisit this.
I think infertility can become obsessive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you have to, you're looking at a timeline thinking, okay, I've got a timeline. And the important words there are, I've got a timeline. And we kind of nudge God out of it all as to his timeline. And we don't understand infertility. We live in a fallen world. So everything is not. It's not like the Garden of Eden, you know, where you'd be fruitful and multiply. So it's complicated. But to take a break and just go for the health and well-being of our marriage, for the healing of your body, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. But you still wanted a child.
So wanted a child. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the next step, we took our break. We actually changed doctors, not because of, you know, our original doctor doing anything wrong, but like Eric said, it was just very traumatizing. Yeah. Even pulling into that parking lot, very traumatizing. Mm-hmm. So we saw a different doctor who at that point, especially because of the surgery that I had, having lost a fallopian tube, our chances being much less, had recommended that our next step be IVF. Okay. And he was great, super encouraging, but I'll never forget him saying to us, looking across his desk and saying, while you're saving for IVF, keep trying because you still have, you know, like a 2% chance of getting pregnant on your own.
2%.
I was like,
which means 98% chance that you will not get pregnant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was really encouraging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Very, very encouraging. So we both struggled during that time with just, you know, who's, because at some point you feel like this is someone's fault. Like, how did we get here?
That's right.
Why are we here? Questioning God. God,
isn't that true? Yeah.
Like, why did this have to be our path?
Okay.
Like,
so tell us about how you questioned God. Because you both were very faithful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You kind of look at your lives thinking, oh, we're pretty normal. Yeah. But what did questioning God, I mean, look like for you?
It was definitely, I think, probably different for both of us. For me, it was a lot of prayer. I would journal a lot of my prayers, and sometimes they were these really great, you know, faith-filled, confident prayers. And sometimes, like, I remember writing one prayer that was very short. It just said, God, please don't forget me. Because I felt, man, we watched so many of our friends get married, start having families, one child, two children, three children, and we're still waiting. And so there were times that I just
God,
felt like,
please don't forget me.
Ooh,
that's so powerful.
Yeah. And so some days it was like that. And then other days it was, you know, just full of confidence and faith that God was going to come through and that we were going to, you know, see his goodness through having a child.
Wow.
But we talked a lot about it too.
Okay. Because I was going to ask Eric, so often the maternal instinct is greater than the paternal instinct. And I don't know, with the loss of the baby and all of that, were y'all processing very similar or was it different?
Oh, definitely differently. Like you said, maternal instinct is definitely different. I feel like the hardest thing for me struggling through infertility wasn't even for me. It was for Caitlin.
Okay.
That she wanted to be a mom so bad. Mm-hmm. She was going to be a great mom.
Yes.
You know, for guys, it's a little bit different. It's not the same that desire in their heart.
That's right.
Know? So that was the biggest struggle for me, to see her going through that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, after we lost the baby, it was just kind of the same, you know, just like, man, how we always felt like we were in the 1%. It's like 99% of people can go through, have a pregnancy easy. We're struggling through infertility. We lose the baby, always in the 1%.
All these percentages that they were like, sharing with us. And
not much hope.
Yeah.
And then. So we had sat down with this new doctor, the same one who told us, keep trying, you have 2% chance. And
you're saving for IVF.
Saving for IVF.
Which is very expensive.
It's very expensive.
I don't even know what it is now, but it's probably...
Eric would remember.
It's probably, it ranges between $20,000 to $30,000.
Wow.
One treatment, it's not guaranteed. So
$20,000 to $30,000.
And we were making a lot of different decisions at that time too. So we were in a season of life where we wanted to purchase a home. And so now we're faced with
one or the other,
you know, is that a down payment or is that an IVF treatment?
Yeah.
We were committed to participating in giving above and beyond during our intense campaign here at the church to see, you know, our church grow and see, you know, our Frisco campus grow and being part of that. And so we were making spiritual and financial decisions. We were constantly at crossroads of like, okay, what do we do? Like, what do you want us to do? Do we continue to put this on hold while knowing we are not getting any younger, you know? And I know people will laugh at that, but that was a struggle for me too. I had in my mind when we first got married, we'll start a family by 25. I would recommend don't ever put a timeline on it for newlyweds. I wouldn't suggest doing that because it made every year that ticked by, every birthday, every anniversary,
the timeline out the window.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay. Yeah. That's a great application point.
It's good to have a plan.
It's good to have
It's good to have a plan and something to work for, but your plan can never dictate life.
That's right.
Life has to dictate the plan.
That's right. So we sat down with this new doctor. And he said, keep trying. And so we continued trying. We continued praying and saving and giving and serving, doing all these things. And then that was, I think, in October. And then in December of that same year, we found out that we were pregnant on our own.
Whoa.
And so that 2% that we kept finding ourselves
Caitlin,
in,
Erica,
we found ourselves
so
in again.
Great.
Well, and I remember when you told us.
Yeah. We were. Yeah.
I mean, just overjoyed.
Yes.
And I and our kids were, we didn't, you know, it was like we couldn't spill the beans.
Yeah.
You know, you want to get to that point where you feel like, okay, this is going to be a viable pregnancy. And I'm sure there was a lot of fear with that as far as telling. But you did tell some people who would pray for you.
That's right.
And it did turn into a great pregnancy.
It did.
And little Hadley was born.
Beautiful right. Hadley.
Yes.
Hadley, she's so precious. She's a chunker.
She is. She is a chunker.
So how old is Hadley now?
So she's 7 months now.
7 months.
God.
Oh my gosh. What a miracle
story.
Isn't
that great?
When you hear this, it is truly, I mean, the 2%.
Yeah.
God can do anything. Mm. We all know that it is God's timing. It's God's plan. And not everybody's story turns out like this. Mm-hmm. And some are still walking in difficulty and pain. But just, you know, continue to pray and seek the Lord's will mm-hmm. and his timing. And then you will fit in. That's way better than being so disappointed day in, day out.
I want to ask him too, looking back on your journey, what would you tell couples who are going through this right now? Because we're going to have a lot of people, they're like, whoa, we are going through infertility. Or parents, you know, have adult kids and they know about this. What would you say?
Such a hard one.
That is a hard question.
Yeah.
So I would say to people who are going through infertility, like I said, definitely throw out the timeline.
That's a great one.
Or just praying that God would, that was a big thing for me, praying that God would change my heart and allow us to fit into his timeline instead of our own. But in the context of marriage, I would say to continue communicating. Mm-hmm. Eric and I talked a lot about how we were feeling, and I had to accept that Eric wasn't feeling the same way I was feeling on that certain day. We talked about a lot how it was okay to be grieving, but also be relieved in a way. Mm-hmm. Eric felt relief in some sense after our pregnancy loss and surgery because I was okay. Mm-hmm. You know, he was having to make decisions for my life basically and my medical care, and knowing that, you know, when I was in surgery, a decision would have to be made and it could radically change what we think our life is going to look like. It would have radically, could have radically changed the outcome of us starting a family. And so after that, he was relieved and I was just like,
devastated.
Caitlin, what did you and Eric do as far as like what avenues of support did you seek during this time?
Well, we definitely stayed heavily involved in church. We would talk to other couples, sometimes couples who had experienced that, you know, experienced loss, sometimes not.
So
just the act of talking about it and not making it secret.
That's so smart.
Because it is, there is a shame around it. There is a secretiveness around it because you don't, we felt like telling people might put this burden of sadness on them.
Yeah.
Like, cause nobody, you don't know what to say, you know? And so, but we still did. We spoke to people about it. We shared our story.
And then your story becomes a ministry to other people because you have an identification process. I always tell people, and I've heard this said before and I didn't make it up, but your misery becomes your ministry. Mm-hmm. And none of us choose the misery side of it. I don't want to have infertility. I don't want to have grief and the loss of a child. But when that happens, you have to move from the why to the what.
Right.
Why me to what now, God, and allow God to use that. Mm-hmm. And you have the victory story. Yeah. And when I say victory story, having Hadley, obviously it's a miracle. It's beautiful. And it is a victory. Mm-hmm. But victory is not defined by Hadley.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you guys being successful, having a baby. Victory is living your life for the audience of one who is God.
Yeah.
And so that's a tough understanding. It really is. But we're so happy for the outcome.
Yes, we are.
And that there's a precious little Hadley that loves Ed's deep voice.
Yes, she does. And Eric, I've got to ask you, you have the best hair transplants I've ever seen.
Oh, they're not. Those are all natural.
It's natural? Okay.
I know.
Hey, thank you so much for watching. I've had hair transplants. Thank you so much for watching. That's why I said that. Thank you for watching and connecting with the Creative Marriage Podcast, the podcast that teaches you, because we're all fellow strugglers in this, how to keep your love alive, how to keep your creativity alive and how to stay focused on the one, all uppercase, O-N-E, Jesus. We'll see you next time on the Creative Marriage Podcast. Give us a 5-star rating.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Be sure and give us a 5-star rating.